Well, hello, good morning. It's Abbey 104. It's 11:05. It's Folk Tales. I'm Terry Bennett, and in the studio today, I've got Aidan Otterwell, who is the Managing Director of Prodigy IT Solutions. Good morning, Aidan.
Morning, Terry.
Now, tell us a little bit. We're going to go through your history of how you built up the business, but tell us before we start, what is Prodigy IT Solutions?
Prodigy IT Solutions offers a range of IT support and services, and we mainly focus on small to medium business support. So we like to think of ourselves as a customer service business that just happens to do IT. So that will range from sort of supply of hardware, supply and support in software, and cloud solutions such as emails and antivirus, along with all the support that goes along that. So it's remote support, on-site engineers, and we've got a workshop as well to do builds and repairs.
Okay, so it's a sort of generalised help people out with their IT problems, and I guess you specialise really in sort of taking on board anybody's issues, and you're the people that go and sort it out rather than them having to work out the answers for themselves. Is that
exactly that? I think a lot of people obviously need IT, but a lot of people don't actually have the first idea of how to fix it, and it's quite frustrating, so we're there to help.
I can vouch for the frustrating bit. Yeah, I can well understand that. And you do a bit of personal and business, I believe, don't you?
Yeah, so we do personal, but we specialise in the business side of things, so the support for the small to medium business.
Okay, and this is a business you've grown from absolutely nothing, isn't it?
Yes, so I started it at the age of 20.
Okay, I think there's an interesting story to be had here. But we're going to take, as always, some music along the way. And you've chosen some tracks. And the first one of which is Phil Collins and True Colours. Why this one?
When my little boy was born, when he used to cry, me and wife used to sing this song to settle him. And it always used to settle him. So every time it's played, it sort of brings back good memories. So.
Okay, will he be listening this morning?
He should be, yeah. If he's not interested, more interested in the iPad or his laptop, he's quite into his gadgets himself.
So. Okay, so he should recognise this one. Here we go, Phil Collins, True Colours.
Smile, don't be unhappy, can't remember. your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors, true colors, true colors are shining.
Yeah, that's Phil Collins and True Colours from 1998, originally written for Cyndi Lauper, and I think she recorded it some years earlier. But Phil Collins took it to number 26 in the UK with his, what they describe as a smooth jazz version. Anyway, enough of that. In the studio we have this morning Aidan Otterwill, who is the main man, the managing director behind Prodigy IT Solutions. And Aidan, we were just sort of saying that the company offers generalised advice to, well, both personal and business customers about their IT needs. And let's go back a bit, though. Let's talk about how it all started for you. Mm-hmm. And you were born in Bournemouth, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I was born in Bournemouth. My parents moved to Shillingstone. When I was about
Blandford,
12 months old.
Blandford Formerly, yeah.
Yeah, Blandford Formerly, yeah. Exactly. And they created the tea rooms there. So, it wasn't tea rooms when they moved, but then they created the tea rooms.
So they started that business, didn't they?
They started that business, yeah. So it was for as long as I can remember, I was surrounded by business from an early age.
And both parents, I think you said when we were chatting, had their own businesses.
Exactly that, yeah. So my mother originally, my father joined my mother's business, and then he set up his own company later on in life. So,
okay. And what were these businesses doing?
Obviously, originally there was the tea rooms in Shinnestone.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Child Oakford, where I went to primary school.
Yep.
And at that point, they set up an interior landscaping business.
Yep.
So basically, it's fake plants and things like that.
Fake plants.
Exactly that. Very interesting. And it was to go into sort of offices more than anything, low maintenance, but still had the effect, as it were.
Yeah.
They also done a bit of floristry for weddings and things like that. But the main thing was the interior landscaping. And they got quite heavily involved with fake bonsai trees, which were quite popular.
Yeah, they were. They went through a phase, didn't they, a few years back?
Yeah, so they used to make those and distribute them. And then the business moved on from there into franchising. So they started to franchise the business across the country.
Yeah, that's quite an achievement, because to build the business up to that extent where you can franchise it, that was, took some doing, didn't it?
Exactly, I think so. Obviously, I was quite young at the time. So from what I can remember, going off to suppliers most weekends and, picking up plants, and then we're going off to customers and trying to sell franchises and things like that. So from a very early age, I was sort of involved in around the business side of things. And then later in life, they set up a light haulage and removals company along with self-storage. That was my father's business.
Okay.
And my mother set up a clothes business. So it's sort of party plans.
Yeah.
So sending out, going to clothes parties with groups of women, usually. It was sort of in the evening, and they get a group of people around and they'd sell clothes. And that was set up with my sister. So it was 8 years old.
So very much a business ethos within the family then.
Yeah, exactly. I think most of my weekends were spent at suppliers, like I say. So I was up and down London or down up in Bristol, trips around suppliers.
So you're one of three, aren't you? You've got siblings.
Yeah, so my sister is 8 years older than myself, and she's a qualified ride instructor.
Okay, so she didn't take on the business side of it?
No, she's done some things with my mother, like I say, the clothes business in particular, and they did have a riding school in Kingstag called Alloweto. My brother, he's 4 years younger than myself. And he's also into business. He's got a business specialising in Volkswagen transporters. And he does them up and turns them into camper vans and things like that. So
okay, so there's a really entrepreneurish background here. Is that a word? I'm not sure. Anyway.
It is now.
It is now, quite right. So you come from that background. Tell me about school. And you went to school locally, presumably, did you?
Yeah, so Child Oakford Primary School. Was the first school I went to, and then I just went to Sturmster Newton High School.
Yep.
I went to sixth form at Sturmster. So.
Happy days? You enjoy school?
Yeah, it was good days. Thinking about the business side of things, I got the nickname of Del Boy. from an early age, I was sort of buying and selling sweets in the playground and selling them to my brother, who was my best customer at the time. And and then later in life, I was sort of buying and selling computer games and systems at secondary school. And then went on to CDs, music CDs. Sort of as I got to about 14, 16, I started specialising in CDs. So, it was a good time.
So it was almost inevitable, really, that you were going to go into some kind of business then with all of this background.
Yeah, I think so. And there was an element of expectation when I started making some money out of sweets at the age of six or eight or whatever it was. That, yeah, I had a sort of maybe a flair for it, or I was impressionable at that age. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So school then, you say Stimpson Newton went to sixth form. Mm-hmm. At that point, yeah, okay, I guess we can answer this question. You were going to go into some kind of business. Did you know at that juncture what it was likely to look like, or was it just a business of some sort?
I think probably at the age of 14 I probably got an idea that I wanted to go into IT, and it would be an IT business. I'd always been interested in technology. My first computer was a BBC at the age of four. We had the old cassette tapes. You used to load up a computer game and type in some code. It would take half an hour and then it'd crash and you'd do it again. Old Space Invaders and things like that. So I was always interested in technology, but I think when we got to sort of 14, you start choosing your GCSEs, you start talking about your career and where you want to go. I think it was sort of quite obvious, you know, when I actually gave it some thought that IT was the way I wanted to go. Really.
Yeah, so. I see. And this was still relatively early days of personal computing, wasn't it? Because you know, this is what we're talking about, mid-90s and late-90s. And so.
Yeah, exactly. So I think
it wasn't as big as it is now, that's for sure.
99, something like that. Yeah. So a lot of them were Acorns back then.
Yeah.
And Windows was just starting to develop in sort of Windows 95 and Windows.
So that must have been a tremendous time to be in on the start of the IT revolution, really.
I'm looking back on it. Yeah, I think so. I think it was a really good time. And, you know, I remember it sort of around that sort of time was dial-up internet was coming out and you're just starting to get online chat and the classic AOL, which most people were using. So
the old 14.4K connection to your dial-up.
Exactly that. And I remember, you know, the first time we connected at home and you're dialing up and you're talking to someone from Texas, I think it was, and it's someone called Twiggy. We just started a random chat with someone called Twiggy and never forget it, really. And so it was really interesting. And looking back on it, I think it was some really good grounding to get some understanding, because it wasn't all done for you. You know, you had to still learn and work out what you had to do. It wasn't
I guess it's difficult to remember that these days, as you say, it's very much plug and play, isn't it? And everything's been developed for you. You just buy it and you install it and off it goes.
In theory.
Days, then it wasn't like that at all, was it? It was very much, it wasn't nearly so user-friendly.
Yeah, no, it was, you had to spend a lot of time working things out and a lot of frustration to get to the end result, but yeah.
Okay, so you were always going to go into business. You pretty much had decided at a reasonably early stage that it was going to be IT related.
Mm-hmm.
So the obvious thing then to do IT would be to go and do a degree in some kind of computer science, wouldn't it?
So I'd done computer science at A level and business studies at A level. After doing business studies at GCSE, unfortunately, I don't think they had an IT course at GCSE level, and I was due to go to university, Portsmouth. I had a placement there and I deferred it for a year and thought, okay, well, I'll go and get an apprenticeship and I would just get some hands-on experience in the IT field. And what happened was I started earning money and university just got put back and back. Because I thought the thought of not having any earnings each week, you know, well, it didn't really fill me with a lot of joy. So, I started off in a software company. So it was a company that made software for the Windows Doors and Conservatory company. So I was involved with sort of testing that software and checking it before it went out to clients, because it's all custom built around the client needs. But sort of 6 months into that, sort of sat in front of a screen all day, every day, wore thin a little bit. So I started chatting to an IT company that was about four doors down, doing similar things to what we're doing at the moment. And they offered me a job, still on the apprenticeship, and I worked there for 2 years.
I see. Okay, and that was still locally, was it?
That was in Somerton, so a company called Delta PC.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a trek, I suppose. That was sort of 45, 50 minutes when you're on apprenticeship wages, most of my money was going on fuel to get them back. Sure. But it was a really good experience,
and that's what you do.
It was inevitable, and it was needed, really much needed. So yeah.
All right. Okay. We're getting towards the point where we start looking at Prodigy. So before we do that, let's take your next track, which is Years and Years by King. Tell us about this one.
We went to Radio 1's Big Weekend last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And my wife and the mother and father-in-law. And it just was a really good time. Yeah. We just looked back on it. And every time the track, the Years and Years, are played, we weren't expecting anything from Years and Years. We didn't go in thinking we were fans of that particular band, but we just absolutely loved it. I don't know whether it's just the alcohol levels we had at the time or what it was, but yeah, so every time I hear the track, it brings back great memories from last year. Watching me under the light, can I be a line? They say it's easy to leave you behind. I don't want to try. Cut cover, take that test. Hold courage to your chest.
Years and Years with a track called King from 2015, and their biggest single to date. Got to number one in the UK in March 2015. And in the studio today, we've got Aidan Otterwill. Aidan is the founder and the director and main man behind Prodigy IT Solutions, which, as we've been hearing, is a company that supports people with their IT needs. And I guess there's lots of people out there with IT needs, aren't there, Aidan?
There are. There's a huge amount, yeah.
Because not everybody enjoys dissecting software that's not working properly or taking apart their PC.
No, I think IT is one of the most frustrating things. So often you've got clients on the end of the phone that have got furious with their IT when they phone up, so they're quite mad because they're not able to achieve what they want to achieve. They don't understand why. It's just randomly gone wrong often. And so, we're like an agony aunt like that. I guess we sort of take away their pain and...
I guess you have to front some of their frustration at times, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. But yeah, most people understand. IT is one of those fields that unfortunately always tends to have problems. There's so much to make up of IT. You've got loads of different providers. You've got Microsoft, and then you will have all the hardware manufacturers and all the software suppliers, and they've all got to work together. And I think Microsoft openly admit that when they release software, it's only 40% complete.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't buy a car without any wheels or anything like that. But unfortunately, IT, or fortunately for us, I guess, IT, it's one of those fields that they get away with.
I guess that comes back to the old adage, don't buy right at the front. You wait for the glitches to come out and then invest.
Yeah, unless you're a bit of a geek like myself. Yes. And you can't wait to get my hands on it. So,
well, perhaps we'll come back to some of the sort of current issues and some tips around IT a little bit later. But we've got to the point in your story here where you've been working for a company in Somerton for a couple of years, doing what sort of first-line support for them. And you were getting a little bit twitchy. You wanted to move on and get this business running, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think I always knew from an early age that I wanted to start my own company. So going to work was really to get the experience under my belt. I think the catalyst was the person I was working under, who I'm still really good friends with today, started his own business. He left the company. And sort of 6 months in, I wasn't really enjoying it the same as I once was. And I just decided to set up by myself. And I went to my parents and said, look, I've got this idea of starting my own IT company. And they were really supportive and said, well, what's the worst that can happen? I was living at home at the time. They said, you're not going to go without food. You've got a roof over your head. Their one bit of advice was try an advert before you hand in your notice in the Blackmore Vale and just see what response you get. And actually, I decided not to do that because I thought if I do it and I don't get any response, and it might put me off. So I just handed my notice in. Then I started advertising. I didn't get any response. to get the business, I ended up doing leaflet drops in the rain. And my wife used to join me at the time. We were just got together, and she used to come out leaflet dropping with me every weekend.
Leaflet dropping to who?
Mainly to businesses, so business parks, so around industrial estates. Just putting leaflets out there, getting our name about. And we were also advertising the Blackmore Vale at the time. And it's just a way of getting some momentum, getting some business in the door. And
so this is basically you set up from your parents' home, a desk in your bedroom almost.
It was a desk in the bedroom to start with, and I expanded into their landing. and then shortly afterwards, within about, six months, they had an annex on the side of the house, and one of the rooms came available. So I rented that off of them as an office. And
they were obviously very supportive because they've both done it themselves. They've set up businesses and had been quite successful in business.
Yeah, so exactly that.
They're hardly going to tell you you shouldn't do it.
Exactly that. I don't think, I think I was really well supported with them. And they actually assisted me quite a lot with sort of some of the basics about like VAT and becoming registered for VAT, running sets of books, etc. And it was quite an easy transition for me, I guess, easier than some other people might find.
I see. So very early days then, you were going around dropping leaflets in industrial estates and working in the landing or then the annex.
Yep.
But you got some customers, obviously, you must have done.
Yeah, we got some really good customers. So there was a lot of, through word of mouth, we got a lot of home clients, and through the Blackmore Vale, we got a lot of home clients. And then through some of the leaflet drops, we actually got some of the business clients we still support today. And some of those are international companies that trade obviously internationally, and are very specialist companies, and we still support those guys today. So it was a really good way of getting new business, and I'm really pleased that we've managed to retain those clients, and we still work with them today. So yeah,
absolutely. So okay, the business begins to grow a little bit then. This is how quickly did this all happen? You sort of started it and you got your first customer, what, 6 weeks in, or
I think a friend of the family the was my first customer, actually, so I was quite fortunate, and they were sort of a customer before I'd even left my job, so that sort of got me going, and then I can't really remember how it sort of developed from there. But I know within 18 months we'd sort of taken on our own set of offices and became limited and taken on our first member of staff. So we'd moved from my parents' annex into some offices in Stourbridge.
Okay.
Well, they weren't actually offices at the time, though. It's a little industrial estate. And as a unit, we converted into offices. And Nick, who's still with us today, joined the team. And okay. That was...
So your first member of staff came on board, you know, fairly quickly.
Yeah, in 2000. The business was started in 2003. Nick started with us in 2005. Like I say, still with us today, and it's obviously 12 years later. So, and from that moment onwards, I think, within 12 months... after having those offices, we had another two people on board. So there's a team of three or four of us.
You started picking up business reasonably quickly then, by the sound of it.
Yeah, and I think even to date, 80-90% of our business comes from recommendations. It's been the best form of getting new business, for sure. And I think the other way we got a lot of business early on was we're doing a local networking event called BNI.
Oh, yeah.
And that was based out of Wincanton. They're still going today. And I think a lot of business initially came from that. In fact, I think about 60% of new business came from doing the breakfast meetings every week. So, again, it's referral-based, so it's recommendations, but a bit more of a structured way of getting recommendations and referrals. So it's been key, really, to the business, even to date. I think most, 80-90%, like I say, of our business comes from recommendations. So.
Okay. And, when we were chatting about this interview beforehand, a lot of what you do is service-based, isn't it? It's people need to know you've got a level of technical competence, but more than perhaps most industries, they rely on you giving them a good service. And that's something you've focused on all the way through, isn't it?
Definitely. I think that's where the recommendations have come from, is from doing a good service. And it's often doing the little things. So it's just doing what you say you're going to do. So if you're going to call someone back, if you're going to turn up, if you're going to be there at 9 o'clock, turn up at 9 o'clock. If you're going to be late, just give them a courtesy call, because within a few minutes of being late, people can wonder a lot of things, whether you've got the right day, whether someone's is it actually happening, are they going to turn up, have I got time to go to the post office, and that can all happen within a few minutes.
So doing what you say you're going to do.
Exactly that, yeah.
In the early days, I'm assuming you might even have had some sort of problems with broadband and things, because this is very in the early 2000s, isn't it? And, speeds and reliability wasn't as good as it was today.
Of course. I mean, most of our work nowadays is done remotely, so probably 70% of our work is by remote support. But when the company started, remote support wasn't something that was available, really. I mean, it was really new, and no one had the internet connection to really support that. So most of the work was done through the workshop, so new builds and repairs, and on site, and talking people through things over the telephone. Google was quite early on, so today Google's everyone's best friend, but back then it was a lot more for process elimination, and you've had to sort of pull on raw experience and skills, I guess. So, so the internet has changed things a lot over the last sort of 12 to 14 years, no doubt, in the way that we operate and the way that we do things.
So. Absolutely. So, okay, you started off this new business. You had good parental example by way of the businesses your parents had been running. Did you make mistakes in the early days?
Everyone makes mistakes, I think. I think one of them was sort of certain types of advertising. So in the yellow pages, didn't get any business. And you make mistakes, but I think you always learn by them. And the way I used to look at it is rather than spending money on university, which I would have, the tuition fees and the cost of going to university obviously is high. So I used to look at it and go, well, I would have spent money going to university. I've lost some money. But that's just a worthwhile
learning experience.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So although it seems to have cost me some money, or it's been a costly mistake, really it was just a learning experience, and you learn from those mistakes.
Sure. Definitely. Okay, so 2005 you found an office, is that right? And that was in Stourbridge.
Yeah.
And so the business was beginning to expand at this point, and you're taking on extra staff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for any business, that's quite a big decision, isn't it, to start taking on extra cost, effectively. And you've got to be pretty confident that you're going to have the income to meet that, haven't you? But you obviously were.
Yeah, I think I was always confident. I think, again, it probably helped when Nick started. He was, it was when we were based at my parents. So probably bringing Nick on board at that time. He came in as an apprentice, even though we went to college together. And I suppose, again, I had the security around me that, you know, what's the worst that could happen? You know, if it didn't work, then, you know, I was still going to have a roof over my head. Didn't have a mortgage to pay. I think the biggest commitment I had was a car loan. So,
But when you start taking on premises, then you're taking on lease agreements and...
I think by the time we...
Extra salaries and...
Yeah, I think by the time we moved into offices, we'd gained a bit of momentum. And I think there was a bit more confidence. A lot of the services... there were some services actually initially, but a lot of services to date is built on sort of residual. So it's monthly, and I think the industry generally is going to a monthly way of working.
Okay, so people pay you a retention fee, if you like, to have you in the background, as opposed to just paying you by the hour when you...
Exactly that. Yeah. So obviously I think everyone's used to paying sort of for a yearly antivirus, and now Microsoft are moving on to... obviously office subscriptions and email subscriptions, and then the whole industry is really changing to move into sort of more managed services and paying for sort of a support on an ongoing basis.
Yeah. Okay, so how did the business grow after that then? You started taking on people, and it's, well, we get to a stage where now you employ 14, don't you?
Oh yeah, 14 at the moment, and we're looking for another three, so, okay, so yeah,
quite a lot bigger.
Yeah.
So is that a gradual process, or were there any big events in there that prompted the expansion?
I think It was gradual. Like I say, through the networking and through recommendations, we managed to build the business up to about seven of us. And moving on from there, when we got to that sort of size, it was obvious that I wasn't able to micromanage a team at that sort of stage. And I needed to work more on the business. So probably that was probably a significant moment for us, because Ryan, the other director, who's now a director, joined the company. He actually had his own recruitment company prior to joining. Mm-hmm. And we were looking after his IT at the time, actually, and we started talking. And things weren't going quite well with his business partner at the time, and he joined the team. But obviously not from an IT background, it really added... added some extra skills, business skills. And some experience of, you know, actually being a client. And we went through a process then of working more on the business and putting structure in place, processes and systems. And that was probably a big moment for us, because I think when you can micromanage sort of 5, 6, 7 people, you can pretty much keep your finger on the pulse. And we got sort of 7, 8, and you know, we were speaking to some clients and they're saying, look, your service is really good. But it's gone from being really hot to maybe warm. Still really happy with everything, but yeah, we're just noticing a few little signs that you know, where the service wasn't quite as good as it was. So we then, like I say, went through a process of putting in systems and departments, where now we feel like we've got foundations to keep growing the business based upon what we've put in place. Really, so
it's back to this service is everything culture, isn't it? In a business like yours?
Yeah, definitely. And like I said earlier, I think we like to think of ourselves as a customer service business that happens to do IT. Yeah. And we there's lots of things we do to achieve that.
Yeah. Look, we've got sort of fairly well up to date. So let's take your next track, which is Michael Jackson and Pretty Young Thing. Is this another long-standing favourite?
Michael Jackson in general. Since a really young age, I just he was sort of my idol, but someone I really appreciated his music and his dancing. And so, whenever if I pick out any album to play, it'll always be a Michael Jackson album, and it can get me through any day, I think. So,
okay,
it's one of my favorite tracks. Fly with me.
Michael Jackson and PYT, otherwise known as Pretty Young Thing, from the Thriller album, 1982. We've got Aidan Otterwill of Prodigy IT Solutions in the studio. And Aidan, we've talked quite a bit about your early life and your school days and how you built up Prodigy. Mm-hmm. And as we reflected, you're now 14 staff. You say you're looking for a further three.
Yeah.
So it's a lot different than it was as 2003 when you set it up, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's come a long way.
It has, yeah. So
what's the current state of play? I mean, how many customers have you got and what sort of people are they?
They range all sorts. But in terms of, I think we've got about 1,500 on the database.
Gosh.
Now, a lot of those might be home clients. They may use us once every 2 years or 3 years. Some will use us every year. But in terms of core businesses, we've probably got a couple of hundred core businesses that use us on a month-by-month or week-by-week basis. And that's really where the business is sort of been focused around, is the business, the small business.
You were saying that because you've moved slightly from taking just about anything on in the early days, as you would in a new business setup, but now the bias is, as you say, towards business rather than personal customers. But you've still got a few personal.
Oh yeah, we've still got a lot of personal clients. But like I say, the business is the focus. So we work on sort of managed IT support and unlimited IT support agreements, a bit like we're like the outsource IT department for the small business. Yeah. So that would include having an assigned engineer, which is going back to the service, so they speak to the same engineer. The engineer would be a second line engineer, which means they're more senior, more experienced, and they would get assigned to a business. And whenever they, whenever a client phones up with a problem, they speak to the same engineer, who then can remotely log in or assist them in whichever way they can. They also would include things like on-site engineers, so if we need to make a visit. Include sort of IT consultancy and project management on large projects, and looking at the way the business needs to develop its IT from an efficiency point of view and from a growth point of view.
So keeping it simple, I'm a businessman and I've set up my own business. I don't know much about IT, and the business has grown a bit, so I've moved away from having a single desktop computer, and I now need to network several of them, and I don't really know how to do that, and I need to do some online marketing and perhaps set myself up a sort of web page and all that. Is that the sort of thing you can help? I come to you and say, can you assist with this?
From the networking side of things, yeah. But from the web, we don't do websites. Yeah, so we try not to, we're not a jack of all trades.
Okay.
So we specialise in the IT support and services. So, from networking and supplying the equipment, advising you on what needs to be installed, and then providing that after support. So
and
you
say
day-to-day issues.
You do the on-site as well, you actually go and do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we will do the on-site install and any on-site fixes, but then it's also the managing of that. So when you have day-to-day issues, we'll be there to assist. There's also things like backups, so we'll provide and monitor backup solutions, provide and monitor antivirus or security solutions. So it's really looking after the IT. There's a lot to it. Most people don't understand it. And if you're a business owner, you probably are busy doing what you do. And equally, if you've got people in your company that have been, well, maybe they one day stupidly said, oh, I know a bit about IT, and they've been lumbered with the IT expert's role or title, often they're then distracted from what they should be doing on a day-to-day basis. So we take that on and we look after the entire
so it's allowing surface. The business owners to focus on what they do best.
Exactly that. Yeah, and assist them with what the business needs, really, to make sure they're on the right path.
Yeah. So you've got a typical client, I'm guessing. Possibly you have a fairly wide range.
Yeah, there's a wide range.
But from small to quite big, I'm
yeah, I think some of our smaller clients will have maybe five users, five members of staff or five machines. And some of the large ones will have a couple of hundred. And businesses can turn from maybe turning over 100 to 200,000 to turning over, some of the large ones will turn over sort of 50, 60, 70 million. So that's some of the larger companies we work with. So,
okay, and again, this is an impossible question, but the typical sorts of things that you get involved in on a day-by-day basis for just a run-of-the-mill business, It's remote access stuff, as you said. That's much more your way of operating now than it used to be, isn't it? You can actually sign into their machine remotely.
Yeah, remotely log into their machine.
Find out what the problem is.
And sort the problem out. And we're just working on systems at the moment whereby we should be able to sort of remotely look at, manage and resolve problems, but without actually even remotely take over the machine, so without interrupting the user.
Yeah.
So we're developing that at the moment. Then, like I said, there's the on-site and there's a workshop, so machines can come back to our workshop for repairs and builds.
Mm-hmm. And you do actually supply new technology as well, do you? New
hardware? Yeah, supply new hardware, so that would be laptops, printers, PCs, servers, and that's where probably we come in, because we can actually advise and make sure you're getting the right equipment for your needs, really, and you're not going down the wrong path, which often happens. And you know, sometimes when you're picking up a new IT system, you go, okay, well that shouldn't have been done, or they've bought the wrong copy of Windows, or etc. Yeah. So often if we have a new client come on board, there is that onboarding process whereby we'll do initial audit, and then there'll be a maybe some things that we highlight, and some things usually the business is aware of, you know, problems or things they want to achieve. And then we start working with the client on a regular basis. Sometimes it can be every 2 weeks, sometimes it can be every quarter, sometimes it's every 6 months. And we start looking at, okay, where was the business in terms of its IT, and where does it need to go, yeah, and how far along that path are we at the moment.
So. Okay. All right, let's take your next track, and then we'll come back and just talk a little bit about a few sort of common problems maybe that crop up.
Okay.
This is Jason Mraz. Is that how you say it? M-R-A-Z.
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm yours. He's an American singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
This got any particular...
It's my wife's and I's first dance at a wedding, so I'm hoping it put a little smile on my wife's face today, and I get some brownie points, so
for being out on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Here we go.
Well, are you done me in your bed? I felt it. I tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest, and nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. I look into your heart and you'll find love, 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 love. Listen to the music of the moment, people dance and sing. We're just one big family, and it's our God-forsaken right to be loved, love, 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 love. So I won't hesitate no more, no.
That's Jason Mraz and I'm Yours from 2008, got to number 11 in the UK. Well, Aidan Otterwell is with me this morning. Aidan is the main man behind Prodigy IT Solutions. We've heard a lot, Aidan, about the way the business grew, and you're now a company of, well, soon to be 17 people.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully, if we can find the right people. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. We've been talking a bit about what you do. So the current state of affairs, what's your way forward? You've got ambitions to grow the business?
Definitely. So obviously, like I say, we're looking for another three people. We're also working on a new vision package, which we've been working with some specialists out of the United States. And that is really taking the managed services side of things to another level. So it's working with larger clients and looking to reduce the amount of downtime, improve the efficiency. So a little bit like what we're doing at the moment with support, but with a lot more proactive and more IT consultancy and auditing, so that we really reduce the amount of downtime, improve the efficiency, and look at where the business can improve from a software, and where the technology can really, really make a difference, make a competitive advantage. So it's no doubt that technology is going to be one of those, is what the driving force behind improvements, and is always going to be the thing that's going to set a lot of businesses apart and make them different. So we're working with these guys out of the States to work on this new vision package. The other part of that is obviously on the security front, which with more ransomware and obviously the recent accounts with the NHS, and Nissan, I think more people are aware of what can happen even to the largest of companies. We're working on this new vision package, and that's where we see things moving forward. Again, we've still got the support packages as we have at the moment, and then we'll also still have we've still got the home department that we're still focusing a lot on. So but it's just this new
expression
area of business.
You used the expression a moment ago, sets apart. Mm-hmm. What sets your business apart from the many others that are doing this sort of type of thing?
I think on a basic level, it's like I say, doing the little things and doing the things that you say you're going to do. So if you say you're going to call back a client, you call them back. If you're going to be there at 9 o'clock, make sure you're there at 9 o'clock. And then I think the way we try to think about things, it is all down to service. So the assigned engineers is fairly unique. So if anyone's has run BT or any other call centre, typically if you've got an issue, you'll go to a first line engineer, which is more someone that's basically reading off a script quite often, quite entry level. And then if they can't solve it, you go to a second line engineer, you explain all your problem again, and then you go to a third line engineer if you're lucky, if you get that far, and hopefully they might be able to sort your issue out. And it can be really frustrating, and that's typically the way that IT and technology businesses support clients, because at the first line they want to employ the lowest paid and try and get most of the problems sorted out at that level. And where we'll advise and we will assign typically a second line engineer. So they're a more senior engineer, and they're assigned to the client and they're responsible for that. So there's that side of things, which is pretty unique. There's the unlimited approach. So with a lot of our managed services, we don't cap it by the amount of hours, although we do sort of obviously have a certain amount of hours that we track, but it's the unlimited support that we offer, and then it's the other little things. I mean, we do things like we'll phone clients when a job's complete just to make sure that they're happy with everything. We sometimes send out thank you cards, and it's the small touches, really, and we're just thinking about the client.
It's very all much in the service,
exactly, yeah, that, and I think that's okay. I know a lot of businesses will talk about customer service, but I think that's probably the main difference between us and the next company.
Let me ask you the obvious question, which is you started as a technical person, mm-hmm. very much involved in actually doing all of the work. The business has grown. You've become a manager. You did business studies, as you say, at A-level. Mm. How do you cope with that transition from techie to manager, and how do you make sure your staff don't get ahead of you?
I think some of the staff are ahead of me from a technical point of view. And I quite like to surround myself with people that are better than me in certain areas. From a business point of view, I think that was always my I had an interest in technology, and I think my passion was for business. So I was quite fortunate about that, although I am a self-confessed geek. So, I don't know quite how I've made that transition. But I think I actively encourage our team to sort of we do regular they have regular training booked in every month, and I actually encourage them to sort of progress. And so I think it's important that it's based around a team of people as opposed to just myself, so I'm not a bottleneck to anything.
Okay, well, that's good. Look, we're running out of time. Current IT issues. So what sort of stuff do people phone you up about? Here's an obvious one. My computer isn't running as quick as it used to 2 years ago when I bought it. Why not? What's the sort of usual answers to that?
Sometimes it can just be over a period of time. Windows updates, you know, software updates go on the machine and you get temporary files and you install a lot more junk onto it. And so over a period of time, that can slow down the machine. Also, when you're buying, people say, oh, well, why after sort of maybe 3 years, 5 years, is it slowed down? Or even, you know, why doesn't it perform as it once did? Usually it's because the software that's built today is built upon today's standard. So if, you know, they're building new antivirus software, office software, they'll build it upon the common machine today. So when you've got a five-year-old machine, it's going to struggle to run the latest software. So that can be often be a reason why it slows the machine down.
Okay. All right. Look, we're getting towards the end of the show. So I'm thinking, what about you and your interests? What do you do when you're not heavily engaged in running this ever-expanding business?
I'm a keen Chelsea supporter. So,
okay. I know nothing about football. So,
okay, well, I'll move on then. I'll move on. Yeah, hopefully you would have done. Yeah. So I enjoy keeping up to date with the latest developments and, you know, the results of Chelsea.
I'm imagining your home is also packed with technical gadgets, is it?
Oh yeah, definitely. So my son loves it. My wife and daughter not so much. it's full of different gadgets and. I convince her that it's all down to company development and I need to learn these latest things. So,
she still buys that, does she?
No. And she tells me how much money I waste all the time. But yeah, so it's full of gadgets. I also enjoy skiing, which is I'm trying to get away at least once a year to do skiing. And I like a bit of retail therapy, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as that pains me to admit it, yeah, I do like a bit of retail therapy.
And a few holidays as well.
I love holidays, yeah. I think my wife loves them even more than myself because it's the one time I'll actually switch off and get away from work. You know, if I'm away on holiday, it's the time that I'll actually fully focus on the family and put work down for a little bit.
Yeah. So. Aidan, it's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming in.
No,
we wish Prodigy every success in the future. It sounds like it's a really well set up and dynamic business.
Thank you.
And going places. So thanks for coming in. We're going to finish with your last track, which is Stevie Wonder and Superstition, another favourite.
Oh, yeah. I think every time it comes on, I can't help but dance. And my little boy absolutely loves it. So this is for him, really.
Well, it's about to come on now, so I'm about to watch you take to the dance floor.
Yeah, I'll get my moonwalk out.
Aidan, thanks very much
indeed. Thank you.